We're turning in the Lord's Word tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and while you're turning, let me say a word of thanks to the minister and elders for the invitation to come and preach. I haven't been able to do a whole lot of that the last couple of years because of caring for my wife. Kind of like riding a bicycle, however, you never forget how to do that. You've done it so long. And I'm glad, certainly, for the Lord's opportunity afforded me to come to what I guess really is my home church. Newtown Square was where I began with the Free Church, and it's always good to come back home again. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, we're going to commence breaking at verse 46 and read through to the end of the chapter. Let's all hear the Lord's word. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. God bless the reading from his word to our souls for his own name's sake. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Let's all seek the Lord together. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, it is in the name of Jesus that we come. We thank thee that thou hast taught us to pray in that name. For that name gives us authority to come and to pray with boldness. Thou dost know what we have need of before we ask. Thou dost even now search the hearts of those gathered in this sanctuary this evening. Thou dost know those who belong to Christ. Thou dost know those who are still outside the fold. And our God, we pray that thou wilt take thy word tonight and speak to all. Pass not one by, we pray. Awaken, revive, restore, renew, encourage, warn, strengthen through the word of the Lord this night all who come under the sound of thy truth. We ask this only for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Perhaps there's nothing that so sets the scene, the event before us tonight, as what Mark writes in the first half of verse 32 in this chapter. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. It was time for all Jews to make their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But for Christ, this was not just another journey to Jerusalem to commemorate the Passover. This was the Lord's final trip to Jerusalem in order to be the Passover. So one last time, with that in mind, Christ tells his disciples what's going to happen to him there. As they make their way toward the holy city, Christ tells them again that they will mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and kill him. as horrific as that prospect looming before the Savior must have been, nothing could turn him back from this mission. Mark says of his journey to his crucifixion, Jesus went before them. He was leading the way, not holding back, no reticence about it. His face was set like a flint, unmovable, going to Jerusalem. In fact, he was actually, you could say, leading the charge against the enemy. Mark also says that the disciples were amazed at this behavior. They were astounded at what they were seeing. They were amazed at the fact that he seemed so eager to go to the place where he says he's going to be put to death. But the text also says that they were afraid, not just amazed, but they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives, afraid of what might happen to them. His journey to Jerusalem brings him to the city of Jericho. From there, it was about a 15-mile hike straight up the hill to the holy city. The road through Jericho would have already been filled with Jews making their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. A large contingency of people are making their way to the city. But it would have been especially thronged because Jesus was also on the road. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all point out that there was a great multitude traveling with Christ, aside from the Jews who were making their way to the city. Verse 46 of Mark 10 indicates there was a great number of people following Christ and his disciples. No doubt it would be many from this same great multitude who would spread their garments before Christ as he makes his triumphal entrance into the city of Jerusalem very soon. In their minds, the kingdom of David was about to return to glory and power. And that is why James and John persuade their mother, verses 35 to 45, to ask Christ for those two top positions in his kingdom, to sit at the right and left hand of Christ in the kingdom. Immediately after this, Mark records the healing of the blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. I wonder why. Why? Picture the scene in your mind. There's this, I can't begin to imagine how heavy the burden was that was upon the heart of Christ, the burden of the cross, the giving of his life for the ransom of many. He knew what awaited him. He knew the suffering he was going to endure. He knew the shame. He knew his father was about to forsake him. There was the loud din of the voices that arose, of course, from this great multitude of people. You ever been around a large crowd like that? It's so noisy. That would have also been ringing in his ears. Was his mind so focused upon the cross that he was oblivious to all the commotion going on around him? I know not. But one thing I do know, there was one voice he heard that day in the midst of hundreds, if not thousands, of other voices. It was this poor blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. This is the story of something the Lord Jesus had done many, many times before. He made the blind to see. It was nothing new. But what makes this miracle so special is that it was the final healing Jesus performed before the cross. And it is tied to the quest of James and John for positions of power in Christ's kingdom, not only because it occurs right after their request, but because of a question that Christ asks in both situations. Notice what Christ said to James and John in verse 36. What would ye that I should do for you? Now look at what Christ says to Bartimaeus in verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The wording is the same in the Greek. That tells me that there is in this final healing miracle of Christ a word for lost and saved alike. Before us this evening is one of the most, in my opinion, touching and instructive scenes in all the Gospels. Let's go back and revisit, please, tonight for a little bit that dusty, crowd-filled road outside the city of Jericho. Everything has come to a standstill. Silence fills the air as we watch this blind beggar make his way to Jesus Christ. From this passage, I want to speak for a bit tonight on the day that misery meant mercy. The day that misery meant mercy. Notice first, please, with me, it was a glorious moment. A glorious moment. I draw your attention to the opening words of verse 49. To me, they're worth underlining twice. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. That's the moment I'm referring to. It was, in the first place, a glorious moment in the life of Christ. Let me please set those words in their true and proper setting. Mark, as I'm sure many of you are aware, is the gospel of action of all the four gospels. The gospel of action. He speaks more of the deeds of Christ than any of the other gospel writers. And that is only fitting, since Mark is the one chosen by the Holy Spirit to display, to portray Christ as the servant of men. You'll also find a note of urgency in Mark's gospel that you won't find in the other gospels. The Greek word translated straightway and immediately occurs 40 times in Mark's gospel. And it occurs 28 times total in Matthew, Luke, and John. That gives you an idea of how Mark is this idea of immediacy, of urgency, action. That's the undertone all throughout. Now, with that in mind, picture Christ in your mind making his way to Jerusalem. Already he is envisioning the cross that he must bear. Already he begins to feel the weight of the cross upon his own heart. There is this inner compulsion that's driving the Savior. There is this urgency. I must get to Jerusalem. I must go before the Sanhedrin. I must be beaten and spat upon and whipped and nailed to a cross. I must get there because I have come with this mission to save my people from their sins. That was weighing upon him. But wonder of wonders, we read, Jesus stood still. Why did he stand still? Because he heard a cry, a plea for mercy. It stopped him in his tracks. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's as if the cry from that blind beggar drowned out all the din of the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that were making their way to Jerusalem. He heard that cry above it all. That one little phrase reveals a Christ who is full of tender mercy, full of compassion, ready to hear the cry of anyone who calls upon him for mercy. The prophet Micah declared that the Lord delighteth in mercy. And what is mercy? In God, it is that compassion, it is that pity that arises in his heart for those who are wretched and miserable. There's a special emphasis upon the misery that sin brings into the life that is tied up, whether it's the Greek word or whether it's the Hebrew word, a special emphasis upon the misery that comes because of sin in the life. He sees and he pities. That's what he heard that day. Some blind beggar who calls for mercy. That was a great moment because we see Jesus Christ standing still for him with the weight of Calvary before him. He's not so wrapped up in that mission that he forgets this old blind beggar on the side of the road. I, for one, am glad that he's that kind of Savior. That he stops for an old beggar. I said this is a word to saved and lost alike. I remember reading the story years ago in some city, Chicago, some church. It was a Sunday morning and the people were making their way in, large church, making their way in. In front of the church, right in front of the entrance door, there was this old beggar. All wrapped up in his clothes, rags he was in. And the people filed in, one after another, after another, after another. And they're sitting waiting for the service to begin. The pastor's not there, wondering where he is. In a few moments, that old beggar walks down the middle aisle, gets in front of the pulpit, takes the coat and clothes off, is in a suit. It was the pastor. You can understand the kind of message he preached after that, on compassion towards sinners who are viewed as outcasts. Compassion and pity and mercy. It was a glorious moment in the life of Christ. But it was also a glorious moment in the life of Bartimaeus. Many a time you would have seen a servant, a slave, stoop. He'd stop what he was doing. And on the master's call, he would stoop to him and do whatever he wanted him to do. In this case, it was actually the master stopping at the bidding of a servant, of a beggar, a blind beggar at that. But this blind beggar had stopped the Lord in his tracks. And Jesus waits, ready to serve and grant him his wish. Who was this one who had this power to stop the King of Kings dead in his tracks? Jesus stood still when he heard him cry for mercy. Who was he? He was a blind man. We don't know how Bartimaeus lost his sight. But we do know that blind people were pretty much left to be beggars. Not only because they couldn't work, but because of the theology of the Pharisees, blindness was a judgment from God because of some sin. I mean, there was the man born blind, right? What did he do wrong? And the disciples want to know to Jesus, was it his parents or was it him? It was a judgment. Bartimaeus, therefore, was a man who had been cut off from most of society. He was looked upon as an outcast, as accursed. He was a beggar, which means, of course, he was bankrupt. And not like the panhandlers today who can easily make $30,000 and $40,000 a year by standing on a street corner with their hands out. They make a lot of money. That's not the case in this day. They were absolutely poor. He had nothing to offer the Lord. Couldn't pay him anything for any healing. Unless the Lord intervened in that blind beggar's life, he would remain in this sad state until the day of his death. Things would not get any better, but they would grow worse. And now Here's this opportunity of a lifetime. This massive crowd is passing by. And he knows if I don't do something now, it's over. You can see the whole scene in your mind's eye, can you not? There sits Bartimaeus in his usual place outside the city walls of Jericho. This day his ears hear something very different, however. This time, you know, their hearing is very acute because they don't have the sight. It makes up for it. This time, there's more coming today. I've not heard this size of a crowd, this many footsteps passing my way. There's this great commotion, and Bartimaeus, what's this all about? What's going on? Why this great crowd of people? And they told him, you read this in Luke's gospel, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Somehow, obviously, he had heard about this one who made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. I don't know how, but somehow he heard about him. Now he's passing by, and Bartimaeus, certainly he wondered if there would ever come again a time like this for him. The question must have arisen in his mind, will he stop for me, a blind beggar? But what have I to lose? I mean, all this is like rapid in his mind. What have I to lose? Jesus! Cause Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight who's sitting where Bartimaeus sat so many years ago? Like Bartimaeus, you're blind, spiritually blind, I mean. You've never been given spiritual sight. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. You don't believe what you hear from this pulpit. Let's be honest, you don't really believe it. And you don't really believe it because you're spiritually blind. You don't see the truth. And you can't see the truth of your own self. You will remain in that state until you die and go to hell if you do not call upon Jesus Christ to save you. You can't really sing with your heart that old John Newton hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. As the other hymn writer wrote, Christless eyes, something lives in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. Just like Bartimaeus, you're a beggar. You're bankrupt spiritually. You have no spiritual riches at all. You have no spiritual treasures. You have nothing to offer Christ. Nothing. Like any of us. Morally bankrupt. You're powerless to change your state. You sit tonight in old, filthy, sinful rags. And there is a great need in your life that no one and nothing else but Jesus Christ can satisfy. Let me tell you that Jesus is passing by your way tonight. He sent a man along to tell you that Christ stops for a cry of mercy. He delights to show it. He's ready to stop for you tonight. All you have to do is cry, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. But let me remind you that this was the last time that Jesus passed through Jericho. He'd been down that road many times. And this was the last time Christ walked down the Jericho road. That means that this was the last opportunity for Bartimaeus to be healed by the Savior. You see the solemn lesson for any lost sinner here tonight is that everyone hears the gospel for the last time, sometime, the last time. What if this is the last time you ever hear the gospel? You don't know that. What if it is? The opportunity passes your way. The Lord says, I'm here. Call upon me. Will you let him pass you by? Not only was this a glorious moment, but there was gripping mercy. I'm speaking about Bartimaeus' relentless cry to Christ to have mercy on him. Let's look again at verses 47 and 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There's so much in those few words that come out of the mouth of Bartimaeus that teaches us when he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In the first place, he called Christ by that name that revealed his great mission in coming into the world. Jesus. Savior, it means. Salvation. Deliverer. Rescuer. Extractor. Because men are in this web of sin and deceit from which they cannot extract themselves. But Jesus' very name declares that he is the great extractor. A word for Christians, can I say, by the way, a sidebar here. No matter how entwined you become in life's problems, there is one who can extract you from every situation, no matter how thorny, how difficult it is, and his name is Jesus. Salvation, deliverer, rescuer, extractor. Bartimaeus was quite used, you know. That was his daily routine, crying out to people as the crowds walked by him every day down that busy road outside of Jericho. Alms for the poor! Alms for the poor! And herein is here's a wonderful opportunity to have a little more money in his jar because the crowd is enormous. More people, more giving, more money. But you notice that Bartimaeus does not cry out to the crowds at all. He doesn't lift up his voice and say, alms for the poor, louder than he ever had. That's not in his heart at all. As soon as he's told what's happening, the first word out of his mouth is Jesus. In essence, he's calling out to the Savior. I am lost and I need to be saved. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all, Jesus, Savior. But that was not all he called the Savior. Bartimaeus also believed that Jesus was the Messiah. It's Luke who tells us that blind Bartimaeus asked what all this commotion was about, and the people said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But that is not the word, the name he took up when he calls for him. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. That was the most common title of the promised Messiah among the Jews, the son of David. Because according to 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Messiah would be the heir of David's throne. Bartimaeus believed Christ was the one that God sent from heaven, the Messiah, the anointed one. Bartimaeus was laying hold, therefore, of the Christ of Scripture, not some figment of men's imaginations, who they think Christ is. This was the Christ of the Word of God. This was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament Scriptures. That's who he believed was passing by. That's why he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah." But the thing more than any other that gripped the heart of Christ and compelled him to stand still was that cry, "Have mercy on me." You know, when there's a convicted criminal in a court of law, legal terms is they cast themselves upon the mercy of the court or the judge. A cry for mercy. Mercy is for the guilty, those who have committed crimes against the law. Bartimaeus did not view himself as a victim of society or of bad luck. Crying for mercy was an admittance that he took responsibility for his sin, that he was undeserving of any help. But it was also a cry that was revealed, it displayed the misery that his sin and his blindness was bringing upon his life. He would say, "Lord, I am lost. I am undone. I need to be saved by you. I am miserable. Will you have mercy on me? Lord, have mercy." And when they tried to shut up his cries of mercy, he cried all the louder. And that's when Jesus stood still. He heard a cry from a wretched sinner, and it gripped him. It was gripping, this cry for mercy. It just stopped the Lord. And the Lord will always stand still for any and every genuine heart cry for mercy. He'll do that tonight. It's like you'll become the only person in the universe, as if there's no one else. There's one. He's crying for mercy. I hear the cry. Don't you know that's Jesus Christ? That's how he is. He loves to show mercy. In the third place, there was a glad message. Verse 49 again, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." I can assure you that when Bartimaeus heard that message, his heart would have leaped for joy. Now, there were several things that made the message especially gladdening to this poor beggar's heart. In the first place, it came after it seemed he was never going to be healed. Many had tried to shut him up. "Quiet, you old man." It was his only chance for being healed, and the people are telling him, "Leave the master alone." I have no doubt that fear was gripping his heart. Will Jesus heal me? Will he stop for me? Or am I to be blind forever? Am I to live in this misery, this miserable life forever? You can be dead on certain, therefore, that when they told him, "The Master calleth for thee," there was no sweeter, gladder message to his ears. When you're at the place when your fear all is lost, that your case is hopeless, that the Lord doesn't hear your prayer, Let me tell you, you cry the more a great deal. Don't let anything and don't let anyone keep you from Christ. Nothing. The devil has not changed from that day to this. It is ever his aim to keep sinners away from Christ. He wants to keep you away from the Lord. He's quite happy to see you in your misery. You must see that. The devil delights not in mercy. He delights in misery. He delights to see you living your life in unhappiness, living your life in constant sin. And he will even use people, friends perhaps, so-called friends, to keep you and Christ apart. He knows that everything changes when Jesus comes into the heart. I don't know if you all know Lester Roloff. He's dead with the Lord now. That radio program always began with that old hymn, "One Sat Alone Beside the Highway Begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came, bade the darkness flee." That was the story of Bartimaeus. Jesus came. What a difference it makes when Jesus comes into the life. All is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Not a passing by, not a passing emotion, but he comes to stay, and everything changes. But the devil would want you to remain right where you are in your misery and in your sin. The glad message is Christ and Christ alone can deliver you. It was a glad message also because it was a very comforting message. They told him, "Be of good comfort." That word comfort means literally courage or confident. Don't be afraid. Be confident. Well, these people are telling Bartimaeus to be courageous because he calleth for thee. You read where Christ often spoke those words to people that he healed, "Be of good cheer." It's the same word, comfort. Be of good courage. Why did he do that? Why was it so often? Almost, it goes with the healing. Because, as I said, the Pharisees had long taught that any kind of bodily illness or disease was a punishment from God for sin. There would have been a natural fear, therefore, in the heart of this old beggar to approach Christ, because what he'd been taught all his life is, this is a judgment from God because of your sin. You can understand why the Pharisees were so bothered by the Lord Jesus coming and healing left and right. These sinners, accursed! And this one says he's come from God, and look what he's doing. I say, when he heard him say, "The Master calleth for thee to be of good courage," his heart was just bursting with joy. This is why the gospel means good news. It's good news if you know you're a poor, wretched, blind sinner living in misery. No matter how dark the sin, no matter how long standing, how deep the sin is, they can come to Christ because he calls them to come to him. Yes, the Lord is calling tonight, "Come to me, come to me. The Master calleth for thee. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. None but Jesus. Oh, preachers wish they could, but they can't. They can't make everything right. But they know someone who can, and his name is Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In the third and final place, there were gracious marks. By gracious mark, I mean marks. I mean those indications that show a work of grace had been done in this beggar's life. Listen to what Jesus said to Bartimaeus. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He's given a blank check. Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I pointed out in my introduction that James and John, when asked that question, they wanted top honors in Christ's kingdom. What do you want me to do for you? Blank check. Bartimaeus, the word Lord, it's not that common word kurios. It's the word that Mary Magdalene used outside the tomb when he called her name and she thought her Savior was dead. And the Lord Jesus said to her, Mary, just that one word, Mary. She heard it, she spun, and she said, what? Rabboni. That's the word that Bartimaeus used. Rabboni, the rabbi of all rabbis, that I might receive my sight. All he wanted was mercy. That is a mark of grace. This was genuine. All I want is mercy. Not wanting money, not wanting position, not wanting power. I'm just asking for mercy, Lord. Give me my sight. You see his faith in verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I am not going to need this garment anymore. This is the beggar's garment. I don't need this anymore. I believe this Messiah is going to heal me. That is faith. Faith at work in his heart. Then there was repentance. You know, when the Lord saves a man, when he shows him mercy, he gets his sight, he believes, and he repents. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There you are. There you are. That's someone to whom the Lord has shown mercy. He has been won, saved, delivered, extracted, rescued. He believes, and now all he wants to do is follow Jesus in the way. And what was the way, folks? What was the way? It was the way to the cross. It was the way to Calvary. It was the way to the suffering of the Messiah. He just wanted to be with Jesus. What a turn in this man's life. The day that misery meant mercy. Will there be any here tonight who have lived for I don't know how long now, still lost? There would be no gracious marks about you. There'd be no faith in Christ. There'd be no repentance, no heart's desire to follow Jesus wherever he goes. Will this be a night when misery meets mercy? Jesus is standing still and calls for you. Come unto me. God read his word on our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Oh, Father in heaven, we leave thy word in thy omnipotent and gracious hands. Thou knowest the souls of all gathered tonight. Encourage thy saints, we pray, in this old story of the good news. But especially, Lord, we pray that thou wilt call sinners to thyself through this truth. Show them mercy, we pray, and save them for time and eternity. In Christ's name we pray, amen.